6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth, and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, game number 56 in the books last night. The Golden Knights sweep the Chicago Blackhawks season series with a 5-2 victory at T-Mobile Arena, climbing to 37-15-4 and 78 points on the ledger. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish in studio, Chris Chapman behind the board, and our special guest today, Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet. So a full show. How you doing, fellas?
Special. What are you calling special?
Special like special occasion, not special like...
Should we both say we're sorry to Frank? Actually, by the way, Chicago is just not the Chicago we're used to.
You don't need to apologize to me. Because you know what? It's funny because all my friends back home have been asking me that, and people around here are asking me...
I just want you to be okay.
No, I'm totally okay. And you know why? Here's why. As a Blackhawk fan, I've seen 3 Stanley Cups in the not too distant, and not very deep in my rearview mirror. Right. And if the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup again, I get to watch one of my favorite NHL teams on TV. If the Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup, I get to be part of it and cover it. So as much as I have enjoyed the Blackhawks and I still root for them, with the exception of 3 games a year, I'm all in with the Vegas Golden Knights. And I loved the victory last night. When we did the last road game, when Chicago took the lead at a point in that game, I remember looking around going and saying something that I can't say on the air here without the 7-second delay on. And I literally looked around, and you can ask Clayton, and I looked around and went, wait, who just said that? And I realized that the voice in my head was the voice coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, okay. you can ask me that, and I'll verify it.
Okay. Can you verify that?
I absolutely verify it.
It's
Frank,
verified,
Frank went crazy. He went crazy, and he was so happy for the Cody Eakin tying goal and then the Riley Smith breakaway at the end of that game to go on top.
Yeah, that breakaway almost re-broke my neck.
Yeah. it was fantastic. Well, the road trip ended. They came home a clunker against Philly, but things seemed to go better last night. Not a perfect effort by any means. Two periods, Connor struggled. Mm. They finally found their transition game a little bit there in the third period.
Isn't it funny that the past couple games, especially at home, I felt like, and even some of the games on the road trip, the details weren't there. Right, you know, the details of even where the rebounds off of Fleury were going. Now, last night, Shea Theodore made a play where he just stuck the puck to the corner and figured it out afterwards. On Sunday, he would have, you know, probably gotten and tried to skate it out of the zone. It just didn't feel like Vegas Golden Knights hockey. And last night, especially in the third period, it felt like that's a successful formula, which is why they were able to pull away from Chicago. But also the fact that they were taking care of a less than desirable goaltending situation from the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, they certainly were, and they took advantage of the goaltender. And especially when Brad Hunt put that goal in, it seemed like that was the huge turning point. And Brad Hunt, he is our play of the game, brought to you by a best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. Brad Hunt.
Alexa could jump on it. Feeds it to Miller. Perron around the horn, a Hunt. Wrist shot, score! Brad Hunt through a screen with 11 seconds to go on the power play to tie it!
That was Brad Hunt. And Connor, it seemed like, and we heard from Jonathan Toews after the game, and he said that at that point, it was still a 2-2 hockey game, and he felt like they were still in it, but he wasn't sure that the rest of the bench felt the same way. And he's like, you got to still fight at that point, and it seemed like that was the point the game was over.
You know, it's funny he said that, because you sort of look at body language, and that was the body language that Chicago had after that, because Vegas, especially at home, Chicago knows, because they suffered it in that first matchup. Obviously, they score on the very first shot of that game in that game back in October, shorthanded goal. Then Eric Carlson comes back, and it was all Vegas for the rest of that game. Last night, it just had that feeling it was going to be the exact same thing, that once there was one, there was going to be two, and then three, and then four after that. That was the case.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because in all reality, when they got that goal, Clayton and I looked at each other, and I basically said, this game is over now, because now Jeff Glass is going to play like Jeff Glass played in Arizona, right, and like he's played a lot of games. He's 32 years old. He gives maximum effort. He's not an NHL goaltender. No. He's just not. Without Corey Crawford, when Corey Crawford plays, Chicago wins hockey games.
They were
when
one Corey point Crawford, out before he got hurt.
When Corey Crawford doesn't play, they struggle to win hockey games. And I actually thought Forsberg was going to get the start last night, except for that when he relieved Jeff Glass down in Arizona, he was just as bad as Glass.
Yep.
So I don't know how Quinfo decided who he was even going to play. I kind of have a feeling he might have just flipped a coin and said, what am I stuck with between the pipes tonight? Because they have both been absolutely awful.
Unless the plan at first was to go Forsberg on, what day is it, Tuesday? Monday at first, and then Glass, regardless of what happened on Monday anyhow. So Quinville's been known to do that in the past, but still, you got to do it based on your most recent information, and that was just an unexpected route in the other part of the desert on Monday.
Well, the recent information on Marc-Andre Fleury is that he is a pretty nice good goaltender, and Gerard Gallant has full faith in him. He was excellent last night, turned away a bunch of shots, including a penalty shot, big shots at the end, some Superman saves, some highlight reel stuff, and that's why Marc-Andre Fleury is your player of the game. Our player of the game is brought to us by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Here's Hunt. Perron, shot above the net. Kicks around the boards, and it's cleared by Wingles. Fleury coming way out to get towards the puck, and the upended Wingles is a little shaken up. Well, Fleury, he's never shy about coming out to play it. Here's Patrick Sharp. One-on-one against Marc-Andre Fleury. Save Fleury! And Marc-Andre Fleury denying Patrick Sharp on a penalty shot to keep the game tied. Alex DeBrincat cross ice. Saad breaking into the net. Backhand and a save Fleury! And a rebound. Wingleshaka blocked in front with Fleury spread out of the crease. And Schmidl's getting out.
Lots to love about Marc-Andre Fleury last night. 29 saves, and a lot of them really pretty.
And how often does Marc-Andre Fleury get 29 saves wearing number 29? It seems like that like happens in a lot of games. It seems like a lot of times there. And, of course, now Connor, I don't know if you agree with that choice or not for the player of the game, because there were other guys that we were bouncing around with. But in the final estimate, we realize it has to be Marc-Andre Fleury, because you have to have Flower on Valentine's Day.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, and that was the tiebreaker. That was the great tiebreaker, that Flower gets the nod on Valentine's Day. But if he doesn't make a lot of those saves, including that, and it wasn't interference, by the way, because the puck is right there on Tommy Wingles when he comes out above the faceoff circle. Not interference, just so everyone knows. The Chicago fans around us at our pregame set probably disagreed just a little bit. But, yeah, I think if he doesn't make a lot of those big saves, then it's not a four-goal third period for Vegas last night.
No, it's not. And, like I said, a lot of them have the spectacular variety. We saw the Superman save last night. We saw a number of really good acrobatic plays. But it wasn't just Marc-Andre Fleury that got things going for them. It really was the depth scoring. We talked about it last night, 11 different guys hitting the score sheet. And that was something that was on the mind of Nate Schmidt, and our own Chris Chapman caught up with him after the game and talked to Nate about the importance of depth scoring.
It's so important for us that you can have that secondary scoring. You know, Brad Hunt to get a goal, Tommy Nosek to get a goal, that type of Brian Carpenter to get a goal. Like, those are the types of things you need in order to be a good team.
The third period again, you guys were down. It seemed like you were almost out of it. You know, what changed in between the second period and the third period where you guys just came out on fire?
I just thought, you know, in the locker room, we talked a little bit about how important it is to get a pushback, how important it is to have a little bit more urgency to our game, because that's what kind of propels us into how we want to play. That's the kind of period that we want to play. You know, that's our team. That's the team that I remember. From our long win streaks and stuff. Like, that's the kind of game that we need to play. And we're in the tough part of the season, right? I mean, we just got back from a road trip, got a long homestand, played a lot of games in a lot of days. You got to find an extra gear in games like that. And I thought, especially a team that hadn't been winning lately, it's hard. It's hard for them to you know, if you get a goal, things tighten up. And I've been on that side of things, and it's hard. It's, you don't want to say, here we go again, but sometimes that's what happens when you get a team on the ropes like that.
Who's the guy in the locker room who says, you know, keeps the team focused, or who's able to really get you guys motivated?
You know, our locker room keeps it pretty light, which is good. You know, we have everybody kind of gets on everybody's case a little bit, which is good. It's healthy. You know, I don't think there's one guy that kind of, you know, drives the locker room in any way.
How much of a challenge is it? Like, you find out earlier in the night that Howell's not going to play because he's got the flu. I think he skated this morning. So,
yeah.
You know, how much of an adjustment is that to make in between this morning and the game tonight when something like that happens?
Yeah, that's he's a big part of our team. And, you know, down the middle, he's been one of our, you know, top forwards, and I think he's played well. It's great to have a guy like Oscar Lindbergh step in there and play well and help that line to, you know, play. They played well tonight, and it's a little hard, especially when guys, you know, like guys had to, you know, kind of scramble, and all of a sudden you're playing in different positions, and you know, it's a little bit different. So I thought we did a pretty good job of kind of weathering what was happening and going forward.
As a defenseman, how nice is it to see Colin Miller? I think he's at 31 points on the season. He's having a fantastic season, passing the puck, getting assists. So how cool is that to see as another defenseman?
The Mill, he's you know, we give him a hard time, but he's, you know, he's been such a, you know, I love the way he's playing, and he's, you know, he's confident with his game, and that's what you need as a D-man, and it's great to have that, you know, a guy like that. That's it, kind of, he's kind of driving the force of the points on our back end, and that's what we need. Like, we need everybody to kind of elevate their game, and he's doing it.
Next game, you guys are playing Edmonton. They've kind of had your number this year. How long will you savor this win before you start working on Edmonton? Are you guys already in that mode now?
You know, as soon as the day turns over, you know, as soon as the head hits the pillow type of deal. So, I mean, especially against that team. You know, this is a game I've been looking forward to, especially because of how the last couple have gone. And it's a good challenge against one of the best players in the world.
That was Nate Schmidt talking about getting a lot of players involved. He's looking forward to the rest of this road trip. Only going to enjoy last night until he went to sleep, so he woke up this morning all ready for Edmonton.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the mentality they have to say. And Nate Schmidt basically said the same thing after the Minnesota game when he said, look, I think it's the worst thing they had the worst game they had played all season. But when he stepped out of that locker room, he was putting it behind him and going ahead, going forward. Last night was a win, but they're still putting it behind them and going forward. And let's face it, Edmonton's had their number up to this point here.
Haven't beaten them yet this
year.
It's
time
only
to beat them.
Only two losses of any kind inside the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Regulation and overtime.
Yeah, so they need to do that. They need to shut down Connor McDavid. And as we were just on the press box across the hall with our good friends Ed Graney and Clay Baker, apparently they need to beat a team in orange.
Yeah.
And trouble with the Islanders, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
Flyers, Islanders.
Their kryptonite.
I don't like this pattern.
No,
maybe,
I know.
Maybe that orange blinds them or something like
didn't,
that.
They didn't have any trouble, though, with the black and red of Chicago, though. A sweep the season series. And remember, make sure to listen to us right here on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM after every Golden Knights win for your chance at a $50 gift card from MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. They won last night. We're going to give that away right now. So if you've got some late-minute Valentine's Day shopping, you are in luck. 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Caller number 5, you're going to get that $50 gift card when we come back. Connor's going to stick around. Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace is going to join us. We've got our friends at Twin Peaks are in the house today. Lots going on a non-game day here on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Valentine's Day, Wednesday. And our good friends at Twin Peaks from Henderson have been kind enough to come in and join us and bring us some chocolate and some other fun stuff. So it's a good day. It's a good day to be in the studio.
Yeah, well, it was a good day for me. Monday, I went over to check out the Blackhawk Arizona game just to scout the teams and that, and I went over to Twin Peaks.
His face was painted. He had three jerseys on.
Part of their Sweetheart Week going over there, which wraps up tonight over at the Henderson location, and the lovely Angel is here to tell us all about it.
Yeah.
Very happy to be here. We have our Loggers and Lace. It is our Twin Peaks dress up. Today is the last day for it. anytime we have our big sporting events or even our holidays coming around, we usually do a lingerie dress up for it. But when we have our Golden Knights games, we do a dress up for that as well. We just got a new beer on tap. It is by Love Lady Brewery. It's a one of our lagers, Chris Refreshing Lagers. So anytime we have the games, we promote our beer, but we also have our happy hour. So anytime you can come by, Monday through Friday, 2 to 7, and then 9 to close as well.
That's good.
Are you trying to tell me there's an unhappy hour there?
Yeah.
Well, we try
Welcome
to promote those
unhappy
hours.
Right.
Are you a beer guy, Connor? Are you a fruity umbrella drink kind of guy? Are you a pretentious wine guy?
No, definitely not pretentious wine guy. Definitely not pretentious wine guy. I will go either the crisp, refreshing lagers, like we have just mentioned, an occasional gin and tonic as well. But yeah. Not pretentious wine guy. I don't like that guy.
Yeah, no.
Nobody likes that guy.
And the wine in a box guy? Are you wine in a box guy?
Box wine.
Those are always
years are behind both of us, right. Clayton.
That's a wine cooler guy. You're not Zima. Remember the Zima? Remember that?
Zima.
That's
that
always
is
good.
Perfect. We do have our man sized beers as well, so always man up.
I'm 5'8". That's not for me.
In addition to just having things for a game day, you also work with some charities that are in the area as well.
Yes, we do like to support our local communities. Anywhere from our Military Mondays, we do have our kind of camel chops that our Twin Peak girls like to promote. We always offer military discount as well, 20% off anytime you come into the restaurant. But we do have Folds of Honor. It's an organization that Twin Peaks does support and promote as well. Fallen soldiers, we tend to raise money, donate money, so that their legacies can live on. So educating their legacies so they can provide educational scholarships.
And then you have a full menu as well, correct?
Yes, yes. We have all made from scratch menu. We have a lot of signature cocktails, rolling out a bunch of new drinks, and a food rollout too. That does start on March 5th. But all made from scratch kitchen.
Yeah, and by the way, this isn't your typical bar food where you're going. You just get wings and stuff. Though you have that, and they're very good as well. But you have pot roast and things like that. I love the pot roast over there, so I had that the other night again. But a great environment, TV screens all over the place, beautiful ladies, and two locations for the tourists and that on the Strip, or if you have friends in town to go down there. But then the Henderson location, a great spot as well. And we hope to have one out here in Summerlin sometime soon.
Oh, I hope so, too. Until then, we do have our Twin Peaks Henderson. That is where all your favorite local ladies are. But we are known for the Ultimate Man Cave. So it's your eats, drinks, and scenic views.
And you're right. And Twin Peaks is an obvious reference to rock climbing and hiking and the mountain climbing culture.
Because the Vegas Golden Knights are the team of the Rockies.
It is the team of the Rockies. So that's always great to have.
Yes, definitely. It's the Ultimate Man Cave. Like you said, all the multiple high-definition TVs. We like to promote it as a place where you can relax, be a man, have your man card.
Well, we've also been joined by Haley and Nika. And I have to ask, have you guys all become hockey fans since the Golden Knights have gotten here?
Come on, step up to the mic.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's good. That's good. We are always looking for new fans, and it's great to have you here. And thank you for everything that you brought us. You said you have locations in Henderson, and where else around town?
We have one on the Strip as well. The Henderson one is at 9510 Southeastern Avenue, but the one on the Boulevard is Las Vegas Boulevard in Harmon.
All right, so come on out, enjoy the game at Twin Peaks, say hello to everyone, and have a good time.
Definitely, thank you.
And now, for something completely different, we're going to welcome back the triumphant return.
Is that a Rocky and Bullwinkle reference?
Of Ryan the Hockey Guy.
I thought
Wallace.
It was Monty Python.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And now for something completely different.
Now for something completely different. We're glad to have Ryan back with us. So, Ryan, welcome back, man.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
It's great.
Hey, you're over there somewhere. I think I can see you. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, Connor. How you doing?
See what we did good? For you for Valentine's Day?
Hey, my wife, she's listening right now. She's the only Valentine I need.
Aww.
So,
aww.
See what I did there? And I mean it, too. She's fantastic. She's the best thing ever.
And Clayton and I don't have wives, so we love the Twin Peaks girl being here.
That's correct. That's my Valentine's. You know my Valentine's Day plans are because I'm single.
I assume that it's probably going to involve a steak and beer.
Well, it might. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And which is exactly what I did yesterday, which and exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that's different from any other day.
Exactly.
You're going to sit and you're going to watch sports and you're going to do what you want to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the UNLV Air Force basketball game tonight.
Nice.
Yes.
It's on our air tonight as well. I actually did a sit down with Brandon McCoy that will air if you're not going to the game tonight. It'll air on AT&T Sportsnet. Brandon McCoy, if you guys have ever talked to him, fantastic human being.
Mm-hmm.
Talented, humble, and very, very funny.
I hope you talked him into sticking around one more year. Don't go to the NBA right now.
The way that he talked about UNLV, that's going to happen.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
By the way, you do a great job on the basketball because I've heard you do some of the games, Colorado State, and some other things as well. So
we have the border war.
You are not just the hockey guy.
No.
So, you do a lot of other things. So.
I like to do it all as much as I can.
Yeah,
so thanks for being the one person who watched.
It's good having a horse ride.
My pleasure.
Connor McGahee from AT&T Sportsnet here. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the hockey guy, Wallace. And there is some NHL news. Yeah, he stands by the way. He's Facebooking right now. So
it's all right.
So he's busy.
I don't know. It looked like an email. It might have been important. I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
Then again, it's Chris, so it's probably
but he's
not.
Also working harder than all four of us.
That's right. Chris already put in his hard work last night.
We just informed Chris it's Valentine's Day, and he's like, oh, wait, I got to make reservations or something.
Right.
I actually have a Valentine.
You should have taken a prize for yourself at 2:30 on Valentine's Day.
Wait, we're not watching the Olympics tonight, baby?
Yeah, we only have four microphones, so Chris doesn't get to defend himself. So
I stole
just
his. Do you want it back? Anytime. All right.
There is some NHL news, guys. Let's get into that. Some of it does involve the Golden Knights, and Derek Englund has been fined $2,688.17 for his cross check on Brandon Saad following his penalty for high sticking.
Yeah, I don't know that I really agree with it. It didn't seem super egregious to me when I saw it. So,
yeah.
I mean, the NHL is going to crack down on that, but they're going to be Andrew Cogliano apologists. I don't get anything when it comes to supplemental discipline. I don't get it.
I mean, there were two other fines last night handed out by the Department of Player Safety. I'm sure you're going to get to those, but it's interesting that my inbox was just, three different slashes or three different incidents of fines instead of suspensions. I don't recall the last time that had happened, right?
All I know is that the way Brandon Saad's been playing for the Blackhawks right now this year, they might want to start a GoFundMe page because the Blackhawk fans might pay this fine for Derek Englund.
Oh, wow. Wow. Madison Bowie also fined $1,890.68 for his interference penalty against Winnipeg. And Dustin Byfuglien of Winnipeg also fined $5,000 for his slash on Washington Capitals forward Jay Beagle.
Yeah, it was a weird night, and I feel like, you have to do that. Obviously, all the money goes to charity, but it's just interesting. The jury's still out on George Parros' reign over the Department of Player Safety, but last time we were on together, we talked about Brad Marchand and his suspension, but ability to attend the All-Star game and things like that. So I don't necessarily have a problem with any of these. There's just that, we're all trying to find out what the consistent piece of this is this season.
No, and you hit it right there on the head, consistency. And there seems to never be any consistency when it comes to fines, when it comes to suspensions, when it comes to really anything dealing with supplemental discipline. And I think that's what we all crave. If you want something, at least have some consistency. We don't have that.
One consistency we certainly have this year is injuries to goaltenders. Frank, this happened last night. Scott Wedgwood makes 28 saves on 29 shots but has to leave the game in the third period with an upper body injury. Antti Raatinen comes in, makes 12 saves. The Coyotes helping out the Golden Knights, beating the Blackhawks and then the San Jose Sharks in subsequent nights. But now Scott Wedgwood facing injury issues.
Yeah, and Wedgwood had a tough night there because before he got that injury, in the second period of the game, Brent Burns took a shot that hit him in the face mask and kind of made him a little bit dazed. Then in the third period, Timo Meier smashed into him. They believe that he hit his head on the crossbar, and all of a sudden they're thinking, well, he might have concussion-like symptoms. So for Wedgwood, it was a tough night to the noggin, getting hit in the face, getting hit in the crossbar, and he was playing a great game up to that point. But Antti Raanta, who all of a sudden after the Blackhawk game thought, you know what, I am a pretty good goalie again here. He came in and did the saves and did what he needed to do. So good for them, and you know what, good for the Coyotes. They are the one team in the Pacific that I will root for every time they play all the other teams in the Pacific.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a weird night. Tampa loses to the Buffalo. Sabres as well. So, I mean, last place teams, they got nothing to lose.
Well, they finally got that slacker Jack Eichel out of the lineup, so now Buffalo can start playing some hockey.
What a slacker. It's just a big paycheck, and then that's it.
Just a big one. Well, there's some news from the Vancouver Canucks. They have signed their general manager, Jim Benning, to a multi-year contract extension. Canucks president Trevor Linden said, "With Jim's guidance and leadership, we've put the building blocks in place for a bright future." And if you are Vancouver Canucks, you have to think that you do have a bright future, and you have to be pleased with where you are this season.
If you go to Vancouver, the entire city talks about Bo Horvat and specifically Brock Besser. Like that, those two pieces are what they're going to hang their hat on when the Sedins do retire. Now, Jim Benning has said he wants to bring the Sedins back. And I'll give credit to Henrik and Daniel because they fit into different roles than they're used to. Less ice time, split up, put together, doesn't matter. They said, look, we still just want to play. We want to hang around. And that is actually a testament to Benning and down to Trevor Green and beyond. But if the future is pieces like Bo Horvat and Brock Besser, I think Canuck fans, even though they're, you know, they were a surprise and floating around that playoff line, they won't make it in this year. But that's what they're looking for. And I think that those two pieces specifically are why Jim Benning got extended.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that you look at Vancouver and you look at the building blocks that they have, you can see a foundation upon which you can build for the next 8 to 10 years in Besser, in Horvat. And, you know, you bring the Sedins back and they continue to buy into the lesser role like you were talking about. It gives you a little bit more dynamic ability, and that's a good thing for the Vancouver Canucks. You can see what's to come. You don't ever want to chop that away from the guy that's starting to build it. I think it's a great move for the Vancouver Canucks. No one expects them to do anything this year. No one really expects them to do anything next year, but I think you get a couple of years of momentum, a couple of years of experience for these younger guys. They're going to turn into a very, very good, very fast, dangerous team in the future.
Yeah, and we were impressed with Besser before we saw him in the preseason. I mean, he looked like a really good player.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be Rookie of the Year or not. Him and Barzal seem to be having a back-and-forth competition right now. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those picks there, but he is an exciting young guy there. If they do bring the Sedins back, and I understand they've been there forever or something like that, it'd be nice if somehow they could get some of that money off of their contracts there, because those kind of, let's face it, they've been a huge part of the Vancouver Canucks forever, but they are not worth what they're making right now.
And it would
now
be up to them, obviously, to say yes. And something tells me, because of the type of guys that they are, that they would say yes because they love the city, they love the community. They've been, you know, two of the most important and famous members of that franchise in its entire history. So my gut tells me that that'll happen, that the Sedins will come back for lesser money.
And I agree. And as long as they can still stay together, because that's what they ultimately want. The one thing they don't want to do is get separated.
Right, yeah.
Well, team on the rise in the Canucks, there's another team trying to maintain their position, and that is the Los Angeles Kings. They were at the center of the biggest news last night. They acquired Dion Phaneuf and Nate Thompson from the Ottawa Senators for forwards Marian Gabrick and Nick Shore. And this is a pretty big shakeup for a Kings lineup that's looking to find a little bit of help and get back to the hot, streaky team that they started, Ryan.
Yeah, this is another one of those moves by the Los Angeles organization that addresses their number one concern, goal scoring.
Phaneuf is a defenseman?
It's like going out last year and their big trade deadline acquisition was Ben Bishop because they couldn't score goals. So what makes sense? Let's go get a goalie because he can help you score goals. Here's the thing with the Kings. I don't mind Phaneuf being a King because it solidifies the top four for the Kings on the back end. But the problem is they still don't have a goal scorer. They still don't have a secondary threat outside of Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown and Tyler Toffoli to put the puck in the net. Tanner Pearson hasn't been as good as he should be. He hasn't taken that next step. Alex Iafallo has been effective, but he hasn't scored. He's kind of in that Brendan Leipzig realm where he creates, but he doesn't finish. And so you're left with this position where the Kings need secondary goal scoring, and the only way they're going to get it right now is through a trade. And the thing that worries me, if you're a Kings fan, is that they're probably going to have to give up something on the back end to get scoring. So if you lose Alec Martinez or a Jake Muzzin to bring in a goal scorer, you didn't get any better.
Yeah, right. And this is it. From LA's perspective, I'm not sure. They were trying to do this deal at the draft last year, and it didn't necessarily get done. All the pieces weren't there. Now the climate in Ottawa is right, because ever since that Duchesne trade, things went downhill. Duchesne goes to the Ottawa Senators because he wants to be part of a contender, a part of a winner. Ottawa one went away from the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Things haven't gone to plan. So this is basically, because there's no chance that they sign Marian Gaborik. This is, they're going to buy him out. So this is basically saving the Ottawa Senators $5 million. Now you ask, what are they going to do with that $5 million? Do you try and give it to Matt Duchesne to try and re-sign him? Or to, more importantly, Erik Karlsson to try and re-sign him? I don't think either of those guys are going to want to be part of a rebuild that obviously, now I have no idea what Ottawa's intentions are with this, but I don't think that they're going to want to be around for a rebuild, and that's where it looks like this is going for the Sens.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned the fact that they were trying to get this done before, but it didn't work out. When we think of trade deadline, everybody automatically thinks of teams trying to prove themselves for the playoff run and everything this year. Maybe that's not necessarily what this trade was about. Maybe for both teams, it's something down the road and looking like, yeah, we know we need scoring in that right now, but this guy's available. We wanted him before, so let's get him. And like you said, Ottawa is trying to dump some salary cap. So while we think that trade deadline just means this year and who's making that playoff push, maybe this trade made sense for both of these teams because of looking big picture.
And when you do think about something big picture, though, Ryan, if you're the management and you're the brass over the LA Kings, can you look your fans in the eye and say, we're not looking at this year, we're looking at next year?
No, you can't do that. Not after the 3 years they've had since winning their second Stanley Cup. I mean, this is a team that should now be expected to be in the playoffs and be in the hunt, especially when you have Jonathan Quick in his prime. You've got Andre Kopitar, who's making $10 million a season, and he is supposed to be the best center in the world. He's a shutdown guy. He should be winning Selkies every year. I mean, the Kings team should be good on paper. Now, you have to pencil in the fact that they're going to get Jeff Carter back at some time. So that is a big upgrade for the team. But he's missed significant parts of the season. You don't really know what you're going to get, especially when you're coming off of an Achilles injury, which is what Jeff Carter has. So the Kings need scoring, and they need it now, because Jonathan Quick's not getting any younger. Drew Doughty's not getting any younger, and Drew Doughty might not be with the Kings for very much longer. And you've got to take advantage of this opportunity. The only thing with the Kings that worries me is that they focus on trying to prevent offense so much that they're blind to the fact that they can't create enough of it. And the second thing that bothers me with this is Dion Phaneuf is not a fast skater. He's not the fleetest of foot. He's going to have problems matching up against teams like the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Right. And I wasn't suggesting that they tell their fans that's their plan.
They're not going to go New York Rangers memo to them.
And I don't want to burst anybody's bubble out there, but sometimes GMs and front offices lie to their fan bases. Yeah, so you can say that we're doing this for right now because it's in the best interest of the team. Right. But that doesn't necessarily have to be your real motive.
Really quick, the most important part about this, Alicia Cuthbert gets to go back to Los Angeles.
Yes, she certainly does. Maybe she'll be in the new reboot of the next 24, which we can all hope for. But the trade deadline rumors are all around the NHL this time of year. Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Frank Harnish, Connor McGahee breaking this all down here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. And it really affects the team that's coming into town on Thursday, the Edmonton Oilers, who have some decisions to make. They've been very forthright that their head coach and their GM should be safe. It's perhaps the players that aren't pulling their weight. And Connor McDavid was asked about the trade deadline and what that means to him and the folks in his locker room, and he had a pretty interesting take.
It's hard for me to sit here and say that guys aren't bothered by it, because you know, it is, and it can be in guys' minds. It would be hard for it not to be. I mean, that's not really a question for me. I don't think I'm going anywhere, but you know, I think for other guys it may be a little bit of a different feeling.
So Connor McDavid, I'm good. don't know about you, Leon. Don't you, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
I don't know about you,
the rest of the fellas.
I think Leon has nothing to worry about. I wish Connor McDavid would have just been like, you guys should probably ask Milan Lucic.
Like, seriously.
Just go ask that guy that's making $7 million and is
probably
awful.
Not me, who gets the biggest deal in NHL history that starts next season. You know? I think I'm good.
I'm earning my 100 mil.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The guy's
Captain
making less than me.
I think I'm okay.
The role players aren't necessarily fulfilling their roles.
Right. I was named captain after a half a season.
Yeah.
in which we didn't make the playoffs. I was invisible in the playoffs. When we did make the playoffs, Leon Draisaitl carried the team almost to the Western Conference Finals. I'm going to make $12.5 million a season next year. I think I'm good.
So here's the question, though. If you are Milan Lucic, who everyone's pointing the finger at, is there a part of you that looks at Connor McDavid now and is like, really? Really, they're a tough guy? You're going to say that?
What's he going to do? What's Milan Lucic going to say? Like, hey, yeah. Connor, I think that you need to step back, rookie. Like, no, he's not going to say that. Milan Lucic is smart enough to understand that he's riding, and everybody on that team is riding Connor McDavid's coattails, and he's just got to man up to the fact that he signed a ridiculously stupid contract on the benefit of him, but to the detriment of the Edmonton Oilers. Right. It's probably going to go down as one of the worst contracts ever handed out.
And he took less money for them to go put other pieces around him, which is the scary part.
And it's just, oh, man. The Lucic thing, like, that's Brent Seabrook bad.
So what do you do then if you're the Oilers? What are they going to do over the next 2 weeks?
They're probably not going to do much of anything because you can't trade Milan Lucic and his contract. And they're probably not going to do much of anything over the next, 4 to 5 years. The inept nature of their front office has put them in a position where they had Connor McDavid in this window, the greatest player in the world, and they've done nothing with it. And I think when you hand out the type of money you're handing out to McDavid, which I'm fine with, give him whatever he wants. But then you overpay for Draisaitl. You overpay for Lucic. You overpay for Sekera. You overpay for all of these parts that you don't need to overpay for. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to run a franchise.
So you're saying just because the salary cap's going up, it's not going to go up enough for Edmonton?
No, not at all. Not even close.
Good times. Well, if you want to come see out Edmonton, please do that. We'll see you tomorrow for the Edmonton game. But we have some tickets right now to give away for Saturday night for Montreal Canadiens as they come to town.
Bleu, blanc, rouge.
And you can enjoy all of your French treats before coming to the game. It should be a good one. That one is going to be at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock
game. Yeah. So 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Get ready for Montreal. If you want those tickets, give us a call right now, 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Ryan, can I get a number of our winner?
14.
Win number 14. You are going to the Montreal Canadiens. When we come back, we're going to take a quick look at some things that have been going on over in Pyeongchang. Exciting times at the Olympics right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Special congratulations to Daniel. You won the tickets. You are going to see the Montreal Canadiens. So we'll have some more tickets the rest of the week. And we have tickets every time we go out on the road. So come and join us, born and raised, or join us at Parkway Tavern, wherever we're going to be. We do some drawings for tickets out there. And we have our winner, Jackie Nichols. You have won those tickets for the 23rd against Vancouver. So good luck and to everybody else as they come back out. Keep filling out those forms. We'll keep giving away tickets as long as the team keeps playing.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to keep on playing past the regular season, unlike the Blackhawks who played last night.
Womp womp.
Well, little news from Pyeongchang. Two-goal lead, worst lead in hockey. Team USA can't hold it. They lose 3-2.
I thought we said we weren't going to talk about it.
To Slovenia in overtime. But Russia, with former Golden Knight Vadim Shipachev, they squander their two-goal lead.
Olympic athletes of Russia.
That's right. They lose.
Russia not allowed to participate.
3-2. So, yes, the Olympic athletes of Russia. But some good news in the hockey world that Marina Gossu, former Avalanche girl.
Yep. She was there when I was with the Avalanche.
Yeah.
She's spectacular.
She is.
Spectacular human being.
And she got a bronze medal in the team event, and she's getting ready for the ladies' single, which will happen next week. But Marina Gossu, NHL connection.
First USA woman to land a triple XL, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is correct. And she nailed it. I think, I think I've eaten her parents' restaurant in Arcadia. I didn't know it at the time, but I was looking back and I was like, oh, yeah, I've
been
there.
Wait a second.
It's interesting because I was watching some of the coverage on the Olympic Channel and the interview with her. She basically kind of said that She had fallen every time in practice that day trying that move, and she thought, you know what? The heck with it. I'm going to go for it. And she went out there, and she said, I stuck that landing, and it was like...
they try and land the Iron Lotus, and they finally do.
The Iron Lotus.
Yes.
That is... you know, Frank has never seen Blades of Glory.
What? I have never seen Blades of Glory.
Oh, man. No. It's so dumb, but it's worth it. It's worth it. On this Valentine's Day, Frank, go home and watch Blades of Glory.
No hockey movie will ever match Slapshot in my mind.
Well, it's a figure skating movie, so there's that. But as Will Ferrell says... Chaz Michael Michaels is figure skating.
Denver, City by the Bay.
It's so good. You know, there was some other news, though, that happened at the hockey tournament. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but we know that Korea is joining forces together, have a North Korean, South Korean team. You're aware of that, correct? The women's team, right?
I am aware.
And you're aware that North Korea also sent a delegation of cheerleaders that went to the game.
Please tell me you're going with impersonator.
Yes.
Yes.
So a group of North Korean cheerleaders were briefly wowed by the appearance and the sudden arrival of their leader, Kim Jong-un, at the Winter Games on Wednesday. Some cheerleaders immediately averted their gaze as the impersonator, who later only identified himself as Howard, smiled and waved to the crowd. And they were like, oh my God, it's Kim Jong-un. But it was really this dude named Howard. He spoke to the media, though, Howard did, and he said... of his team, they're playing a good game. They scored one goal. As a president, it's all I can ask for, Howard told Reuters. So the folks at Reuters also confused by Howard.
Now, was that the same Kim Jong-un impersonator that was seen earlier in the week walking down the street with a Donald Trump impersonator? Because that did happen over in Pyeongchang.
That's fantastic. Howard... the impersonator, he said, I mean, I trained them by myself, so of course they're the best in the world, Howard said. That sounds like something that the Donald Trump impersonator would say.
Now, is that Howard Jong-un?
When asked to leave, he was briefly detained inside a police office during Wednesday's mass and then politely asked to leave. He said dejectedly, my face is too political. I was born with this face. I've got to live with it. Howard. The impersonator. We have lost Connor. Off the rail.
As he started leaving, did he take the boombox on his shoulder and start playing Rocket Man as he walked away?
He should have, although Howard could face stiff penalties were he to cross the border, because in North Korea, anyone impersonating a member of the ruling Kim family would be considered blasphemous. Images of the North Korean leadership are tightly choreographed and controlled by the reclusive nation's state propagandists.
So that is his real sister that's there at the Olympics.
That is his real sister.
Okay.
That is not Howard's sister.
It would have been great to get Howard with a picture with his sister.
Yes.
One of my favorite tweets from months ago, but a guy had replaced one of the pictures in his house on the stairwell. You know how people have one of them with an actual picture of Kim Jong-un. And he says, this has been up for 3.5 weeks. The wife has still not noticed yet.
Nice.
We'll keep you posted. So, like, just amongst the rest of the pictures in the house was the framed picture. Not sure if she's noticed.
Nice.
It's been changed.
Who would you rather hang out with, Howard the impersonator or Howard the duck?
Oh, I actually was thinking Howard the Duck as well. But this new Howard has won me over.
Nice. I love it. Stick around. T.C. Martin, the doctor,
Howard.
Is next. Howard. You go, Howard.
Howard.
If the girl's with her, I'm with the duck.
Yeah.